the subject for this weekend's seminar about New Covenant confusion. And the New Covenant is a subject that is so broad in the Bible that it will be impossible for us to cover every detail about it this weekend. And so if I teach through, as we teach through the 8 sessions, you're going, well, they didn't cover that, and they didn't talk about that. That's because we have 35-minute sessions for 1 weekend. The New Covenant is a huge subject. But what we notice is that there's a lot of confusion about it. So what we're trying to do this weekend is give you some truths that are overlooked, ignored, or neglected to help you sort through the confusion that exists. And we think that through the topics that we're talking about, it will clarify the issue somewhat for you so that you yourself can study the rest of it out in the Scripture. Of course, God instructs us all to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And so we're aware that we need to study beyond just what the preacher says. Amen? And if we're not doing that, then you're stuck in a tradition of what the preacher says and all of the errors that they have. And so that's something that we hold here. We're Bible-believing Christians. We think that Christians should be able to believe the Bible, use the Bible for the purpose that it's stated, which is to help all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth of the Bible rightly divided. And so that's where we're coming from. There is a history of confusion about the New Covenant. So if you are confused this morning about the New Covenant and you're still unsettled on what that means in the Scripture, maybe you're new to right division. Anyone here just new to right division, just learning about it? Nobody. Okay, just one person in the room. All right, that's okay. Amen. So you've heard about it. Thank you for your honesty. But when you come to the Bible Rightly Divided, it's a common issue people have. Where are we related to the New Covenant? Other times, it's not even on your radar. And yet, I hope to show you this morning that it is underneath a lot of the questions that you have. What we've learned over the years is that many of the new questions people have about the Bible Rightly Divided, about the Bible itself generally, and even in Christianity, stem from New Covenant confusion. So you're just saying that because that's your theme this weekend. No, that's what we're seeing is the reality. For centuries, the church has debated issues such as baptism, Sabbath, Lord's Supper. Controversial? No? People died over this, right? Let's get to something maybe more elemental or fundamental. The gospel. Is it faith or faith plus works? No small controversy in Christianity over the years, right? You have that sort of issue. What about books in the Bible, like maybe the book of Acts? Confusing to some people? A lot of people. What about Hebrews? Confusing, especially when you learn to write divide. You're going, what in the world's that? Who wrote it? What's it to? What's going on there in Hebrews? Or even more so, Revelation. Everyone understands that one, right? The clearest book. That's where you start someone. No, of course not. But law and grace. We just talked about law and grace last Sunday, and this is an issue that Christians have been conversing nicely and politely about in disagreement for centuries. Okay? Assurance. I put assurance, but really the issue that people call that is eternal security, right? Like, that's no small debate, is it? Are we eternally secure or are we not? What about priests? Are we priests? What about tithing? I'm just making a list of controversial issues in the church here. And all of these things, holidays, which ones do we observe? How often do we need to observe every Sabbath? What about intervention and the Holy Spirit and his work today? Is he healing? Is he giving me words to say? Is he telling me my mind or I have to figure out somewhere else? How does he work? What about the kingdom? Are we in it? Are we not? Is it coming? Eschatology, end times, controversial subjects. We'll put end times up here as another source of historical Christian confusion. And so we come to the Bible as Christians, knowing that it's the Word of God, and we want to better understand all of these controversial issues. And we say, how do we better understand the Bible? How do we resolve the confusion that exists? And you're here, you've watched Grace Ambassadors, you're here for that reason. You realize the answer usually is, well, we need to rightly divide the Word of truth, right? And we need to figure that out. The covenantalist will say, it's all grace, all the Bible says the same thing, it all speaks of Christ in the church. Oh, what about all these things? Well, it's all real talking about Christ. If you get Christ, that's all you need. But to do that, you can't take all of this literally. You got to spiritualize and allegorize. You got to push it down. It's not that important. Just Christ. But what about Christ? What about what he did on the cross? What did his blood do? What about this Christ according to the mystery or Christ according to prophecy? What's Christ doing for me now? Am I in his body? Am I not in his body? How do I get in Christ? So it doesn't really stop the confusion. Dispensationalists have said for a while, rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to take the Bible literally. The only way to resolve confusions in the Bible is to rightly divide. And so we take the scripture here and we rightly divide the Old Testament from the New Testament, because we're not Israel, are we? We're the church. No one's bringing animal sacrifices to the church anymore. And when you rightly divide, you can understand something about that. That we're not under the law as the Old Testament would require Israel to be. We have a different relationship to it. We're under grace, you see. And so right division opens people's eyes to that not everything in the Bible is talking about you. Amen? And so you start to get clarity about some issues. And yet questions persist. And that's because when we divide Israel in the church, or the kingdom on earth from the kingdom in heaven, or law from grace, we don't resolve any of these issues entirely. Why is that? Because all of these stem from the New Testament. They're all in the New. They're not in the Old. These are New Testament books right here, right? Whether you tithe or not, Jesus mentioned tithing. Jesus mentioned water baptism. Jesus observed the Sabbath. What's the Lord's Supper anyways? Matthew 28 or 1 Corinthians 11? The gospel, that's the whole subject of the New Testament. And it's James that says faith plus works. And it's Paul that says faith. These aren't Old Testament controversies. These are New Testament controversies, right? So right division would separate the old from the new, and you need to do that. But now we are on the new, and we still got the questions. What about Hebrews? What about Revelation? Right? This morning, a gentleman asked me a question about Revelation. Lots of questions about it. Questions persist because they're in the New Testament portion of the Bible. The place that we're trying to find things. What's the solution? We need to rightly divide the New Covenant, the New Testament. We need to figure that out. But these confusions are raised in the New Testament itself. So at its root, all of these controversies stem from our relationship with the New Covenant. Are we in it or are we not? What is it actually? People don't seem to be asking that question. They tend to look at these things as one would look at a new house they're buying. When you look at a new house, you look at the colors, you look at the kitchen, you look at the windows, you look at the floors, look at the doors. But really what matters is like what's underneath all that. Is the foundation there? What about the wiring and the plumbing? You know, but who looks for that? I don't like that color. Next. Right? People look at the controversy and say, well, what about the Lord's Supper? Where are you at with faith and works? What about who wrote Hebrews? What's underneath all of this? The New Covenant. Are you a part of it or aren't you? Because if you are, this changes, okay? If you're not, that changes. But no one seems to be asking that question. We take for granted, it seems like in Christianity, that the New Covenant, of course, that's for us, that's ours. I mean, the Old Covenant was Jews and Israel. The New Covenant's Jesus. So if you're not in the New Covenant, what, you don't have Jesus? You don't have his blood? Well, hopefully this weekend we get to define what the New Covenant is for you biblically so you can see what it is and help clarify this issue. Is the only way to access the blood in Jesus Christ through the New Covenant? Or is there some other way God's provided that he offers his blood for salvation and Jesus Christ as your Lord? Okay. No one asks, are we under it? So much confusion of doctrine, but none perhaps as central in confusion as this one in the New Covenant. Let me give you some examples of that, some evidence that the New Covenant is what is causing this confusion. Okay. Exhibit A, if it please the court. Is people's confusion around the word testament. We talked about New Testament this morning, right? When I say New Testament, what do you think I'm talking about? The books of the Bible or doctrine? You say, well, it depends the context. Exactly. That's confusion, right? That's what that is. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 in your Bible. Matthew 1, verse 1. Most people, when they hear the term New Testament, think that it's describing the books of the Bible. And in these books of the Bible, from Matthew through Revelation, is where you find the account of Jesus Christ. He was prophesied in the previous books to Israel, but he was revealed in these books. That's the New Testament, right? How do you know that? Turn to a page just left, or one page left, of Matthew 1. What does that say? The New Testament. That's my exhibit A, that there's New Covenant confusion all over the church. Because every Bible that's printed has that right there. Where's the New Testament? You're off. Well, it's right here, Matthew chapter 1. And every book after is New Testament, right? What books are included in that section? Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Was Jesus born under the New Testament? Well, yeah, it's Jesus. Yeah. Galatians 4, he was born under the law.
Amen.
The Old Testament. Well, that don't make no sense. The page says New Testament, but the next page he's born. You see, this is the confusion immediately that exists. In fact, nowhere in Scripture does the phrase New Testament refer to the books of the Bible. Nowhere. It's that page right there that introduces that confusion. Our study this weekend will concern the doctrine of the New Testament, the prophecy of the New Testament, the promises of God's covenants according to Jeremiah 31 as he gave to the house of Israel and house of Judah. That's what we're going to be focused on this weekend. Not the history of how they published the Bible, but rather the doctrine, which means you're going to have to maybe forego your assumptions about that page right there. If you find that hard at all, that's because there's confusion that exists. Because nothing in Matthew 1 or Matthew 2 or Matthew 3 mentions anything about the New Testament or New Covenant. Okay, it doesn't mention that at all. This page, along with the table of contents, you go to the table of contents, it says the same thing, right? Split your Bible up between the two sections of books. Right? You got the Old Testament and you got the New Testament. They're split up there. And every book, all 27 there, refers to New Testament, they say. The publishers. And this gives a handicap from our study at the very outset. E.W. Bollinger, who was a dispensationalist in the 19th century, wrote about this, and he said that the use of the word testament here has been nothing less than a great calamity. He says, by its use, truth has been effectually veiled or hidden through the centuries, causing a wrong turning to be taken as to the purpose and character of this present dispensation. Yep. Everyone thinks we're in the New Testament. Why? Because the Bible says it. What do you mean the Bible? Yeah, right here, my Bible. It says right there on that page, New Testament. And I'm over here. I got my doctrine over here. Yeah, where exactly? And from whose apostleship? And no one sees a division between the dispensation given to Paul and anything else. There's no page of the Bible splitting that up because the publishers are concerned about the Hebrew writings and the Greek writings and those that were before Christ and those that were after Christ. Right. But it does affect our thinking about it. You can't change that title. Everyone calls it that. We just have to accept it. There's lots of things the churches have changed over the years when they found that it's not biblically accurate. No one here calls me a priest, for example. And in fact, if you're not Catholic, you pretty much, or Anglican, you've given up the title of priest in your church. You come from a Baptist church, Methodist church, no one's calling the people in the front priests anymore, right? Why? Because they're not a priest, right? Or what about the word Eucharist? Is that what people practice in non-Catholic Christianity, non-liturgical high church Christianity? Is the Eucharist? No, it's the Lord's Supper. That's the controversy. Why don't you call it the Eucharist? And that's the Greek word for Thanksgiving and all that business. Well, we give that up because we're not that. People change terminology all the time. What about homily? We'll have 8 homilies this weekend. Say, what? Didn't know I'm back in the Catholic church. We call them sermons, teachings, whatever. We change the terminology. What about, what are we sitting in here? You say, a room. Very good. It's not a sanctuary, because that's what most churches call it. A sanctuary, as if this room is the sacred place. That's why you can't bring your Coke in here, right? It's a sanctuary. But we don't call it that, because the Bible doesn't say the sanctified place in this dispensation is a room in a building, but is you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Amen. You are the sanctified one. We don't call it Sabbath anymore, unless you talk to a Seventh-day Adventist, and they're really concerned about that Sabbath, right? What am I saying? Is you can change what you call things. Maybe we should change this title page. Just make it say the books written after Jesus or about Jesus. There's B.C., before Christ, and there's A.C., after Christ. That's the only difference on that page right there. Books written before Christ and the books written after. Okay. Old Revelation, New Revelation. Don't call it New Testament. It confuses the actual term New Testament in the Bible itself.
Amen.
Okay. Evidence number 2. Exhibit B is defining words. Already, some of you are looking at me like, I know what the problem here is. He keeps switching between New Testament and New Covenant. There's a difference, Justin. Testament and Covenant are different words. This will resolve everything. The fact that there is so much clamor. Anyone heard about this? Testament and Covenant being different. In the Bible, your King James Bible, there are different words. New Testament, New Covenant. And the fact there's so much clamor and conversation about it is an evidence I present to you of confusion. Because people don't know the difference. What's the difference between New Testament and New Covenant? Oh, they're exactly the same. Well, they're different words, right? Yeah, but we don't really know what the difference is. One's the books, and one's a contract with Israel. But the Bible uses the word New Testament, not about the books. Oh, well, That's confusing. It is. Should testament be removed from our Bibles? You know, every other Bible, English Bible, apart from the King James and New King James, removes the word testament from your Bible, so it only says covenant everywhere. And those who are Bible believers, like myself, might rise up and say, don't change the words. Leave them as they are.
Amen.
It says testament. Well, what's that mean? Others recognize that there is a difference. But to think that the solution to all the confusion that we're talking about this weekend is simply to notice the difference between testament and covenant, it doesn't resolve it, folks. It doesn't resolve it. As we'll see this weekend. You know, every place the word testament is used in your King James Bible in the context is Israel, their temple, or the law. So it doesn't work to make a dispensational difference between testament and covenant. That covenant's for Israel's dispensation and the testament's for ours and for everybody else's. Doesn't work. Not in the context of Scripture. It works in your mind to save you from the two places Paul uses the word, but it won't work biblically. We'll cover that this weekend, hopefully, as well. Old dispensationalists of 100 years ago or so, what they did, because they were confused by the new covenant, is when they saw that Paul was given something and they saw that we're not Israel anymore, we're not under the law, what they did is created two new covenants. They said, there's two new covenants, one for Israel, one for us. Can't find that in the Bible either. But they're trying to make sense that we're not Israel, but we're under the new covenant, right? Right? Can I get an amen? And the church history says, amen. You see, but that's history. It's not biblical. How do we come to a right conclusion? Who are we exactly? How do we have the assurance without a covenant? How do we know what God's doing without a covenant? Well, that's what we're talking about this weekend. Okay. Exhibit C for your consideration that there's confusion about the new covenant in the church is simply the question, the very fundamental question of what is the most important thing the church needs to preach? The kingdom of God or the cross of Christ? And Christians go, well, both. The kingdom of God or the cross of Christ? Are we to preach and bring in Christ's kingdom here to everyone else, to preach them the kingdom of God so it dwells in them, or the cross of Christ for their salvation and their atonement and reconciliation to God? The Bible speaks of both. You say, well, who says they're contradictory? Well, maybe they're one and the same. But this is a conversation the church has been having for centuries. What is our relationship to the kingdom? What is our relationship to the cross? Okay, are we in the kingdom now? Or do we preach a kingdom to come? Crickets, Jeopardy music? Cue the Jeopardy music. Are we in the kingdom now or to come? And so theologians for centuries, well, both. Well, all that means is that they both are mentioned in the Bible, but they can't explain why we're both. How are we waiting for it at the same time being in it? It's confusing. Okay. Do we need to trust the cross of Christ or simply the Christ that was on the cross? Well, Justin, you're just playing with words. This is a real theological controversy that separates theologians and camps and denominations outside of right division. Just need to trust Christ, or is it the cross? Well, it's not just the cross. We don't know what the atonement is. There's theories of the atonement. We don't know if we believe in substitutionary atonement. So it's Christ. He's what's most important. Andy Stanley of megachurch lore nowadays is fond of saying stuff like that. You know, it's like, it's just Jesus, not the Bible, not anything else, just Jesus. But how Jesus? What about Jesus? What did Jesus do? Is that important, or is it just the name of Jesus, like Gloria Gaither says? Just say his name, and that's all you need. Or is it the cross of Christ? Does our relationship to God require a covenant, or are we complete in Christ? Because those are two different things, as we'll teach this weekend. What about the law? Does the cross remove it, or does it make it doable by you? You're going, well, I didn't know that. That is a question. Yes, it is an important question, where a lot of these things depend on your interpretation of how you relate to the new covenant. The new covenant is at the root of all of this. But very few people seem to be talking about that or acknowledging it as the issue. It's no trivial matter to talk about whether the cross or the kingdom is the most important message we preach. It concerns the very message and mission of the church. What do we put out there for people? Does the kingdom of God save them, or does the cross of Christ save them? The church has a problem with the new covenant. Our solution is going to be rightly dividing the new covenant. Okay? Exhibit D, that there is confusion about the new covenant in the church. Have you heard about the new covenant? Yes. Everyone here and every Christian throughout history has heard of the new covenant. My question is, how? You say, well, when I started reading the Bible, there's the title, the table of contents. I saw it there. You know, I heard my preacher talk. The preacher's always talking about you're in the new covenant. There's the old covenant with the law, and there's a new covenant for Jesus, and everyone knows that. You know the new covenant's only mentioned four times in the Bible? Four times. You say, well, that's kind of a lot. I mean, four times. There's four gospels and all that. If you include the phrase New Testament, It's actually six times. There's six times New Testament's mentioned. Then you got the title pages. You say, well, yeah, that's quite a bit. That seems like substantial enough to know something about it. True. But have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Now, you have most likely being here this morning, but has the church at large?
Nope.
No. Why not? The word dispensation is used, you know how many times? Four. New covenant. Four. Dispensation. Four. You've never heard dispensation. You've all heard new covenant. Why? Something's being preached more. Right? Something is talked about more than the other. Do you even know what the new covenant is? You say, I've heard of the new covenant. We're in it. What is it exactly? Ask the preacher. Isn't it just Jesus and the Holy Spirit and faith and grace and salvation? Isn't that what it is? And? Where? Show me the verses the new covenant is salvation by grace through faith. Or anything like that. We'll see later. That's not what the Bible talks about the new covenant. You know the word mystery shows up 17 times in Paul's epistles alone? How come no one understands the mystery of Christ?
Amen.
17 times in Paul's epistles alone, you find the word mystery referring to the body of Christ or the new creature. These terms, here are the new creature before, the body of Christ. What the fellowship of the mystery? Have you seen the fellowship of the mystery? Do you understand what it is? Paul says that God's instruction to him was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And yet, new covenant, we're all under the new covenant. I mean, you can't deny that. Everyone's always thought that, right? These terms, dispensation, fellowship, new creature, the new man, the body of Christ, the mystery, show up 4 to 5 times more in your Bible than New Covenant, particularly in the section of the Bible talking about the church. And yet the church is trying to be under the New Covenant, which is actually talked a lot more in the Old Testament part of your Bible. We need to rightly divide, emphasize the rightly, right? We need to get it right. Now, again, old dispensationalists, by old dispensationalists, I don't mean old people living today. I mean people who are now long dead. In your program, on the very last page, I have for your perusal a list of quotes from very old, long dead dispensationalists. John Darby, Lewis Berry Schaefer, anybody heard of him? William Newell, William Kelly, Arnold Gabelline, these guys back in the 1800s, early 1900s, who are called by Wikipedia, if that's an authority, the fathers of dispensationalism. These are old dispensationalists. And you know what? They were more Pauline than any dispensationalist today. Except for yours truly, perhaps. I don't know, and you included. They were more Pauline. They understood Paul a little more. They saw the difference. John Darby even said that he separated prophecy and mystery, and that without Paul, you have no dispensation of grace. Right? Well, that's interesting. You say, he sounds mid-Acts. Well, he wasn't, but he saw Paul more clearly. Okay. William Newell said, neither the first covenant at all or ever nor the new covenant as yet to be made with Israel and Judah relates to Christians. Neither one relates to Christians. Believers today must avoid the bondage of the first, the law, and the false hopes aroused by misapplication of the promise of the second, the new covenant. He says, beware, is what he said. Well, that was 100 years ago. John Darby said, the first covenant was made with Israel, the second must be so likewise. According to the prophecy of Jeremiah, the new covenant will be established formally with Israel in the millennium. You mean not in the church today? No. He said the church isn't under any covenants. That used to be understood. Where'd that understanding go? Like much understanding that comes from Bible study, lost to the course of history and church tradition. It requires every new generation to come back to the scripture in yourselves to understand it, or the dead pastor stops preaching it. And no one else does. You got to know who you are in Christ and your relationship to the new covenant. Okay? So old dispensations were more Pauline than many are today. And what covenant theologians and dispensational theologians today have in common is that we're under the new covenant. That's what they think. They disagree on taking the Bible literally, disagree on Israel and the church separation, but they both agree we're under the new covenant. We're both the subject of the Hebrew epistles. We're both participants in the kingdom come. There's agreement about that. It's not even questioned. But maybe that's the source of the confusion, right? Maybe we need to rightly divide this New Testament. We need to see what the scripture says about it to find out whether it's talking to you or not, whether you need to participate or not. I believe mid-Acts Pauline right division is a solution for lots of lack of clarity in the Bible and confusion. And when we talk about baptism, we get an amen among grace believers. Need to rightly divide baptism. Need to rightly divide the Sabbath days and the end times and the law. And I say, need to rightly divide the new covenant. Oh, no. No. We're underneath that. That's definitely us. Don't question that. But the truth is, you get Paul right, and you resolve the New Covenant problem. Okay, you get Paul wrong, and you struggle with questions. Questions that I had when I was new to Right Division. Questions that you've had when you're new to Right Division. Questions like, who's that graft? Questions like, is Hebrews written to me or not? Questions like, what is this remnant anyway? Questions like, I understand the Old Testament Israel, I understand the mystery, but who are those people, you know, in Acts 2 through 7? Like, who are they? Like, they're not Old Testament, are they? No, they're New Testament. But if you don't understand New Testament, you're clueless about that, right? Questions about the Lord's Supper. Questions about our communion. These all come from getting Paul wrong, not rightly dividing the New Covenant. God wants us to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery in Ephesians 3, verse 9. Why don't more people see it? I would offer to you, based on the evidence I've given, it's because the New Covenant gets in the way. They think they're somewhat related to it. They think they're still under. Even grace preachers who preach Paul and the mystery revealed to him will separate Israel's things except for the New Covenant. And that opens the door for them to sit in the New Covenant under the umbrella of the New Covenant and get rained upon by confusion because that's what it creates. All right? And so we need to know not only what the mystery is, and praise God, there are more people, you're here this morning, who know that the mystery of Christ was revealed through Paul to us to tell us who we are in Christ, what salvation is. We need to know what the mystery is. We also need to know what it's not, right? And I don't simply mean Old Covenant law. I mean, it's not the New Testament. It's not the New Covenant. The mystery and the New Covenant are different. And we'll see that as the sessions go on this morning. And when you start to realize that, you see the root of the problem is that they don't separate the New Covenant and the New Testament from the mystery. That's the division we need to make based on our understanding of Christ and the cross. You start to see that Pentecostalism, covenant theology, preterism, postmillennialism, amillennialism, all the confusions that divide Christians aren't just individual confusions. They're all related to whether you rightly divide the New Covenant and the mystery. When we talk about the timing of the kingdom, is there a literal 1,000 years? Are we in it? Are we not? That's a New Covenant question, right? What about Pentecostalism? So that's Acts 2, not mid-Acts. Yeah, but what's the real issue? If you're in Acts 2, then you're making yourself part of Israel's New Covenant. They don't know that. That's what's going on, okay? What about baptism? What's the real issue with that? Jesus taught to baptize. The apostles baptized. Paul baptized, right? What's the real issue with this? It was a covenant entrance. This is an issue, okay? What about our communion? What's wrong with going back to Matthew 26 and Mark and Luke to find what the church should do in communion and the Lord's Supper? The mystery wasn't revealed back there. Jesus wasn't revealing the mystery. He wasn't talking about the mystery. He wasn't talking about you. He was talking about the New Covenant, the New Testament, right? And so what we need is to rightly divide the scripture, but more accurately, we need to understand that when we're Pauline, what we're really doing, we're Pauline, is rightly dividing the New Covenant. That's what we're doing. When you don't see that that's what we're doing, then you're Pauline under the New Covenant, and you get all sorts of confusions that will continue to exist, which is why many people who've come to Right Division and dispensationalism have left to some of the errors I've already stated, because they haven't rightly divided Paul and the New Covenant, the mystery and the New Covenant. All right? So that'll suffice for an introduction for you this morning. We are not going to take a break. I didn't warn you before. We're not taking...